our Heavenly Father sometimes and many times, and look like most of the time, you give us messages that are not too palatable, but they're still profitable. And dear Lord, remind me tonight, it's none of my business what I preach. That's thy business.
Yes.
And help me, Lord, to be dead and completely neutral and ready for these mortal lips of clay to be moved and used, and this tongue to speak heavenly truth. And I pray, Lord, that you prepare hearts to receive it out in Radio Land and here in this auditorium. We thank thee for this wonderful crowd. We pray that they'll help us by praying for us as we preach, and that the Holy Spirit will anoint us with fresh oil and give us the liberty and give us the compassion and the love, and help us to hurt on the inside as we deliver this message, which gives the picture of this sad and satanic and degenerated generation of ours. So, Lord, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible is the best book in all the world. And yet on the heels of that statement, the next one is, it's the most unpopular book in the world. I mean, so far as really being popular. It's the most despised book on the face of the earth, the Bible. It's the most misunderstood book, and yet it's the simplest book in all the world. Anybody could understand the Bible if they'd be willing to practice it and let the Holy Spirit be their instructor. The Bible was given to simple men, fishermen, tax collectors, and this book called the Holy Bible is the only book that has everything in it that you need tonight. This Bible made America great, and getting away from the Bible has brought us to the end of the trail as a great nation. I'm going to give you tonight the steps in the degeneration of our nation. Now, you've read many times, no doubt most of you, especially you preachers, on the five steps in the decline and fall of the Roman Empire. Well, we're exactly practicing everything that they practiced that brought about their decline and their fall. I mean, everything they did, we have done and are doing. Now, since God doesn't change His mind about sin and about righteousness and holiness, then America either faces revival or no survival. Now, we just got to make up our mind. And we don't have long to wait either. We're told that we are to double in the world in population by 2000. And each person, I don't know, it came out in the Geographic magazine that I don't read, but somebody gave me a copy of it, or I saw it, that we'd have about a yard apiece to live on. Now, somebody's going to get hemmed in. I don't know where I'm going to find a place to walk and especially run. Dear friends, don't you realize that something drastic is going to happen?
Yes.
Within the next 20, not more than 35 years? Don't you realize that? I mean, I don't understand how America can be so dead to the thing that's just ahead of us. And so tonight, I'm going to point out some of the things that I have seen in my generation. Turn with me, please, to the book of Psalms, chapter 9. And verse 17. This is one of the unloved passages of the Bible, and one that we usually read on past. But he said, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." Now all you got to do is figure out whether we've forgotten Him or not. Has Florida forgotten God? with its millions of people in Florida, have they forgotten God? Are they crowding out the churches, and are the churches preaching the gospel and people getting saved and revival flames leaping high? Well, you can answer that. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now, are we right or are we wrong? Liquor stores, dance halls, gambling joints, race tracks, pleasure spots, sin spots. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Isaiah, in his 55th division of his book that the Lord gave him after he had that tremendous experience, when he said, in the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. King may be dead, but the King of Kings is still in good shape. And so he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Then he gives us some of the wonderful things the Lord revealed to him. And he said, ho, 55, ho, or give me attention, stop right where you are. Hey, he said, come ye, all ye that thirsty, said, come on, get a drink. And he said, it's free. Then he raised the question. He said, wherefore do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. He said, incline your ear, hear, and your soul shall live. Then he said, I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Then he tells us to seek the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. One of Uncle Buddy Robinson's favorite statements was, in his lisping way, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. People come to the altar. He didn't try to tell them all about it or what all to do. He just hit them in the back with his fist and hollered, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. Well, I believe the Holy Spirit will help you seek the Lord.
Amen.
And he said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, he'll have mercy upon him. Unto our God, he'll abundantly pardon. And he said, you know what? My thoughts are not your thoughts. Isn't that sad? Our thoughts ought to be his thoughts, and his thoughts ought to be ours. That's the reason we got so much mind trouble. We'll come to that in a little bit. We haven't got the mind of Christ. If we'd had the mind of Christ, our mind would be in good shape. Oh, I want you to pray while I bring this message tonight. I've thought about it a long time, but I've never preached it. In this sense that I'm going to preach it tonight. But he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways. You know what makes God's ways our ways? It's his thoughts.
That's right.
When we get to thinking like him, we'll get to walking like him. When we think like him, we'll act like him. That's the reason I'm going to say some things tonight and take a good plain stand against what I think are the back-breaking sins of America. And the things that'll do what they've done in America the last 30 years ought to be gotten rid of. Now let me say something else. And I'll preach on this text in the morning. Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now anything that you can do to the glory of God would be right. That's your measuring rod. That's your measuring stick right there. All you got to do is say, now, well, let's really honor the Lord. You remember when I started preaching 35 years ago, Charles Sheldon put out a book on the question, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
Ms. Roloff and I gave that book to almost every new home. All the newlyweds, we'd give them Charles Sheldon book. Now, when y'all get in your home, what would Jesus do? Well, that sure will stop a lot of foolishness, won't it?
Yeah.
Now, just what would Jesus do about this? It's not too hard to figure out if you know anything about the Bible. And if you've ever met him, you can figure out what he'd do. And if you don't know what he'd do, just ask him. He's still alive. He can tell you. And so, we're living in a time when people have lost their bearing. Their anchor ropes busted loose, and they're just drifting and miserable and unhappy. and there's a restlessness, and there's a mental disturbance, and in spite of a lot of things that we call progress, the wages of sin is still dead. Never has changed. The wages of sin is still dead. Now, to me, that makes an equation. The wages of sin, and then equals death. Now, if you're serving sin, if you're working in sin, and if you're working for the devil, then what you're going to do is going to equal and total up into death. That's exactly what's going to happen to you. I mean, it's going to kill you, kill your influence, kill your testimony. Now then, I'm going to prove to you and show you, if I can, for the first time in my ministry, that for every sin, there's a disease. And it's a killing disease. For every sin, now you get it, and I'm going to name them. Some of them are going to be a little harsh and a little brassy, but it's the truth. For every sin, there's a disease, and the disease kills. For instance, we'll start off with America's most popular sin, and that's adultery and impurity.
Amen.
Now you'd say, well, what's the disease? Venereal disease.
Yes.
More than this country's ever seen, in spite of all the precautions that they've used, in spite of all the things that Uncle Sam has done and taught and told our soldiers, and even had the chaplains to tell them, we're still eating up with venereal disease tonight.
Right.
And there's other diseases that come from no restraints on the sex life. Just put them down. Brother, there's sin.
That's right.
That's not all. The farmer has disobeyed God in his farming. And so we face dead and diseased soil today. We threw the Bible away. We're not going to let the soil rest like he told us. We're not going to let it lay out. And we're not going to do what God told us in the book concerning the soil. Now, I know we've got a lot of the brass hats that have been off to college. And they told us what to do and so forth. But it hadn't worked. It just hadn't worked. We find our soil is diseased. And dear friends, Florida is no exception to this. Florida suffers as much as any state in the Union in her groves with diseased soil and sick soil. And you know it. And I'll be seeing a friend next week. And I'll probably visit his home. He is... In 1967, he's putting the bulldozer to 1,000 big fruit trees. You know what he said to me? I've been here 35 years. He said, the soil is sick. He said, it's sick. Now, why? Man's been disobedient to God. Man thought he could hatch out a new way and a shortcut, but he can't. And so the soil is sick. Now, when the soil gets sick, the people who live off the soil are going to be sick. And if Mr. Lyndon B. Johnson really wanted to take a big step toward a greater society, he'd better do something about the soil. If we do not get our soil healed, our people are going to die like flies the next 20 years. Fact is, I believe if America continues to go, she'll be mostly a dead or sick nation. And Mr. Johnson sees the need of Medicare. He knows everybody's going to wind up in the hospital.
That's right. Yeah.
Why? Because it's a sick nation. Really, I'm concerned. Boy, when the American people's health is gone, we won't have any soldiers. 50% of our boys are being refused right now. Did you know that? Because of their physical condition. We've gotten soft and flabby and greasy and sickly, sissy. Weak. Sin brings not only weakness, it brings wickedness. And our characters are gone in this nation, and we're not a strong nation like we used to be. All right? Let's stop at the dog kennel a minute. The dogs are sick, and yet they got the same diseases that the people have because they've been eating what the people have been eating. Except most dog food is better than what most white folks eat.
That's right.
But if the dogs just eat the table scraps, it won't be long till they be sick. They have operations. They have arthritis, heart attacks. They have everything that people have. I know I've met some of you dogs here in Florida. They're taking Digitalis every day for heart trouble. And they've got everything that the people have right here. I'm talking about for every sin, there's a disease. And everything that man's ever touched, he's ruined.
Yeah.
Now, I know this kind of deflates the flesh, but it needs to be deflated. We're mighty slow about admitting that we're in serious trouble, all right? Here comes one of the big habits in America, and that's cigarette smoking.
Come on, baby.
Millions and millions of dollars, and the doctors have warned the people, for the sin of cigarette smoking, there's cancer of the larynx and the lungs. And 600 people were buried today, and they'll be buried tomorrow, another 600. And women, as frail as you are, it's eating you up. And no Christian has a right to ever suck on another nicotine stick after you get saved.
Amen.
And the reason I say that is this. You just haven't claimed all that's coming to you.
Right.
You just don't have to live off of a bunch of filth and poison. When you have Jesus Christ, He'll satisfy.
Amen.
You don't have to get a Chesterfield or Camel or something else.
Yeah. Amen.
I read that little ad, and dear friends, I don't know why anybody couldn't say this on the radio, because I'm for the health of the people. I used to say I'd walk a mile for a Camel. You know why they said that? You couldn't run. And so there's cancer, that awful, dreaded disease that eats away the vitals and causes a person to die on sedatives, and loved ones live and linger by the bedside for weeks and months and sometimes years, and the doctor writes on the chart, terminal, malignant, cuts him open with a knife and sews him up and says no hope, no hope. And yet we got a bunch of little shoestring, potato vine, backbone, pusillanimous, Casper milk toast preachers that haven't got enough fortitude to get up and warn the people about something that's killing them dead as a hammer.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, they ought to be kicked out of the ministry.
Yeah. It's the truth, brother.
It's not right to treat our sheep like that. If there was a shepherd on the face of this earth that would poison up his sheep with a bunch of poison, I believe somebody would file charges against him. Humane society get it, and yet the preachers get up and never warn their dear people, talk about loving their sheep. I don't believe a word of it. If you loved them, you'd protect them and die for them if needs be.
Amen.
All right? There are the diseases, and there are the sins. Now, I know this is going to be a little close up. Soft drinks, carbonated drinks, and rotten teeth. And I believe cancer and ulcers on the inside. Drinks, for instance, that you can pour on a piece of meat and it'll cook it. It'll literally eat it up. I mean, drinks that'll come out of a metal fountain that'll just literally eat the metal all to pieces. A man said to me that had a certain fountain yonder in Corpus Christi, he said, I've seen that filthy stuff eat up three metal fountains, and I made up my mind I'd never touch it again. I'm talking about sin, and then disease that goes with it. And you boys and girls wonder why your teeth rots out. You have all that old sugar that goes in there. And for every habit that's wrong, there's a disease that goes with it. Then there comes rotten food, and then rotten bodies. You can't eat rotten food without having a rotten body to save your life. Why, the drugstores and the people are getting rich selling antiseptic to try to take away bad breaths.
That's the truth.
And chewing gum to try to take away a bad breath. Don't you realize your bad breath comes from your stomach? That's the cemetery of dead foods. That's where the rotten smell comes from. I know it's plain, but I'm just telling you the truth. Why don't you boys and girls, a lot of you little old girls, sweet as you are, you think you can put a bunch of glue on your face at night and have a beautiful complexion? You think you can stack about 3 layers of junk on top, on the outside, and make you pretty? Listen, your pretty comes from the inside.
Amen.
Spiritually, that's so too. You get your heart clean, your spiritual countenance will be all right. You get your stomach clean, your physical countenance will be all right too. Your health is an inside matter. And America is gullible enough to try anything and to buy anything that's advertised on television. Oh, listen. If the women and the men and the boys and the girls would just go back to good, simple Bible living, you'd find it real delightful. Rotten food brings rotten bodies. Liquor drinking, America's favorite relaxation, they say. Now it's in the homes, grocery stores, drug stores, filling stations. Everywhere you find beer and booze and broken homes and shattered hopes and broken hearts. And for liquor drinking, what do you get? You get cirrhosis of the liver, which means the liver just couldn't handle it. Little boy turns white because his old liver's gone. His color's gone. His life's gone. And in a little while, he begins to die. That's sin. That's the death that goes with it. The wages of sin is death. Go ahead and drink. But just remember this. When you go buy a bottle of liquor, you buy a bottle of disease.
Right.
You're buying you a disease of the liver when you go in this liquor store. I notice down the road here it says 21 liquor store. 21. I thought, well, what does that mean? Maybe it means that boy's supposed to be 21, but listen, you better be at least 221 before you go in there.
Yeah.
Whether you're old or whether you're young, no man has a right to put intoxicating beverage in his body. And I'd like to say this. We'll never stop the murder on the highways until we make it absolutely a law with teeth in it for anybody that drinks one teaspoonful of intoxicating beverage not to be allowed to drive a car.
That's right.
I'm not saying you can't drive, but I'm saying you have no right to drink and then drive.
Right.
As long as there's alcohol in your blood, you are a portion of an idiot.
That's right.
And if you don't like that, you go ask your doctor and he'll tell you that it goes to your brain.
Yeah.
Through your blood. And no man has as much sense after he drinks as he did before he drank.
Amen.
I live in the land of liquor addicts. I've just come from the jail. And I give it to you. A young man was 24 years old in the jail last week. He sat in one of these bars supposed to be relaxing. An innocent sailor from England was sitting there by his side. They were drinking. They became pals, I guess, though they'd never seen each other. And he said, "Would you drive me back to my ship?" He said, "I sure will." But on the way back, he picked up a hammer and, so far as we know, hammered him down to the ground. Now then, the sailor's dead. The man's facing life in the penitentiary. And little innocent children will pay the price. And a broken-hearted wife that came to see me the other day, just before I left. And yet, I'll have to say, that young man's one of the finest young men I've ever met in my life, in a jailhouse. He plans to give the rest of his life to the Lord and in His service. But oh, just that one night of drinking, that can be repeated thousands and thousands and thousands of times. Never had a crossword, Brother Olaf. I don't know why I did it. I don't even remember what all happened. But I guess I did it. Liquor brings not only physical disease, liquor drinking is a spiritual disease. No man drinks liquor that's right with the Lord.
That's right.
I don't care if you call him a preacher or whatever he may be. No man drinks liquor if he's right with the Lord. Not even with his boss. Not even at Christmas. Not even at the annual party. Nobody drinks liquor that's right with Jesus.
That's right.
Now, if you think that I'm a little bit stiff or hard, I'm just asking you to live by the way people expect me to live. And I'm glad to live like that.
Yeah.
But I'll guarantee you, if you find me circling in and out of these bars after church, you'd stop coming to hear me preach in a big hurry, wouldn't you?
Right.
And yet, let me ask you this. Do you suppose that Jesus would make much difference between the way I ought to live and the way you ought to live if we're both his children? See what I'm talking about? And so there's this. Of course, I'd say this. I believe every preacher ought to be the best man in the community. I never do. I don't have any patience with a preacher who said, well, I don't know why they expect me to be better than anybody. You ought to be better than anybody else in the community. God not only saved you, called you to preach. He's given you privileges and blessings. He's given nobody else.
Amen.
And every preacher ought to be the best man in the community. Head and shoulders above everything else in his church. Sin. I'm not through. Liquor brings cirrhosis and brain deterioration and mental disorder. Now, I believe we've had another sin in our generation. I'm talking about what happened in my generation now. I believe we've had a sin in my generation that we've accepted, maybe not as a sin, but I've considered a sin all the time, and that's all this sex education. I just believe that when mother and daddy and grandma and grandpa and all the rest of them, they didn't know anything about sex education. They didn't have to go off some counselor and get a bunch of lectures on that. And I believe that sex education has had a part in bringing about sex perverts. And we got them by the millions in this country right now. There was a boy that just got to the city yesterday. I mean a young boy brought by his mother to the city. And he's just in his teens a sex pervert. And that's all I'm going to say about it except to say we've just flaunted this business of sex in our generation's eyes, and I believe we're paying the price with a bunch of sex perverts today. I'm going to say something else I've never said. We've gone into every sort of birth control that you can think about. And it's been discussed in newspapers and preachers and priests and denominations have talked about birth control. And they've trotted out every device on the face of the earth for birth control. And now then, we've got a bunch of sick women. Nervous, neurotic, upset, and disturbed mothers and daddies. Homes! Listen, I still believe that God can take care of all the children He gives. You'd say, well, you just don't know. We're living in hard times. Well, let me tell you something. God doesn't know a thing about hard times. God can take care of His children. We're living in abnormal, artificial, superficial times. And I want you tonight to commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. He'll bring it to pass. And I believe that God's people ought to be able to live by faith and trust God and let Him do what needs to be done. Of course, we're living in a time of practically no restraint in any department of American life. But I'm going a little further. I'm showing you that we got some sin for every disobedience. We got some disease for every sin and every disobedience. The next thing, this is very popular, but bottle babies have brought about the removing of the breasts.
Mm-hmm.
Since the mothers didn't use their breasts for what God told them to use them for, He said this, that you cut them off. That may sound a little crude, but I mean that's where we've been.
True.
That's where we've been. Used to not be like that when I was born. You remember that? There wasn't any woman in the community. You'd say, it's none of your business. Well, I'm doing the preaching tonight. You listen here. I'm just trying to show you something that you need to look at every once in a while. Instead of every time the doctor says something, you say, uh-huh, and you just go right down the road. But let me tell you something. There's something seriously wrong with the women of this country.
Yeah.
And when something gets wrong with the life stream, then life's going to play out. And there was a time when the babies were born at home. And there was a time when people even died at home. And there was a time, believe it or not, when they even lived at home. Yeah. I mean, people had just come home. And I mean, they didn't come home to go anywhere. They just come home and said, well, we're here. I mean, sort of glad of it, too. You know, boy, they just come in and say, man, whoo, it's good to be home. Wonderful to be home. Now then, boy, they run in and said, get me a shirt, bring my shoes, give me some socks, and run that bath water. And a little bit, and man, why, act like a bunch of nuts to get away from home again.
Yeah. Come on, brother.
What am I talking about? I'm talking about the diseases that have come because we refuse to do what God told us to do.
Amen.
Oh, if God's people could just see the old paths tonight and choose the good way once again. I tell you, the Lord would pour out His blessings from heaven. All right? Church sanity. That's another sin of my generation. Playing church. And it's brought about parlor soldiers and sissies and little midgets and little Christianettes. Mm-hmm. I mean, churchianity. People say, well, I've got to go to church, you know. It's my duty. I think everybody ought to go to church. Makes you feel better. Yeah. Boy, if you went to the right kind of church, it'd make you feel worse sometimes.
Right, right. Amen.
I remember many years ago, I got so sick. Oh, me. Mother'd go to the phone and ring off and said, give me Dr. Hill's residence right away. Old Dr. Hill said, hello? Yeah? Well, can you come right away? Yeah, he said, I'll come. Here he come. Manly. You think I was sick when he got there? You ought to seen me when he left. I was just sick when he got there. I was dying when he left. But after a while, he got all that poison out of me. That's right. The church ought to be a good place to get rid of the poison. And sometimes you get it all stirred up. Yeah. Not a pleasant sensation at all. Churchianity. And then denominationalism brings spiritual death and Ichabod written over the top of your ministry in your church. I mean, when you put anything first except Jesus Christ and the Word of God, I don't care what denomination you belong to, the Holy Spirit will be displeased with you.
Amen.
Godless education has brought about sick minds. And there are millions of people that's laid on the couch today telling the psychiatrist all that he's done. Social sins have brought corruption. Soft, flabby generation of people. God's not holy like He used to be. The Lord's Day's not holy like it. The Bible's not holy. Marriage is not holy. We've gotten away from holiness.
That's right, it's the truth.
We've left the paths of the Puritans and we've hit the big wide road of the impuritans. Then we wonder what's the matter. Now then, I've said all that to introduce my message.
Preach, brother.
And I want to give you seven things that's broken the back of our nation. Number one, I've already suggested it, but I just named them. Licensed liquor. When we voted as a people, I mean as a free people, when we voted for liquor, we voted away our freedom. We voted away our nation because every nation that ever died, died drunk. Name them. And so therefore, we voted away our liberty and our freedom. No matter what the promises were that were made back yonder We are in the final stages of delirium tremens in this country as a nation. Second, education without regeneration. Our educational system has gone completely corrupt in my generation. Back yonder, say what you will, when I went to school, the little one-room school, we had no laboratory. We had none of the modern conveniences, didn't even have a water system at our school. We had to carry the water in a fruit jar. We had no playground facilities except a bunch of blood weeds to run down the first month or two, an old homemade ball and a homemade bat, a bunch of marbles to play and shoot, tops to spin. But we weren't plagued with boys shooting teachers and stabbing each other to death. There wasn't a pupil in all of my school career that ever swung at the teacher. We had some teachers that swung at them and hit them. That is back there when we had some discipline. We respected the teacher. Ah, listen, when the teacher would go home with us and spend the weekend, is why we's next door to God. My, I'd sit at the table and I'd look at her and see how she held her fork and knife. Mother said, now listen, we sure better be nice because the teacher's coming. She spent the weekend with us. Wasn't no cigarette smoking teacher either. Wasn't no cussing teacher. They didn't have any lounges in the school then where men and women went to sit around and smoke.
Amen.
Oh, listen. Our educational system ruled out the Bible, ruled out prayer, ruled out the kind of high morals we used to have. Put in the dance program, rock and roll music, little old shorts and halfway clad boys and girls in the recreation department. Beautiful little girl came to me the other night. Here, little girl, about so tall. She said, Brother Olaf, would you preach sometime while you're here on indecent dress? Well, ain't that something? You don't have to get very... A little girl doesn't have to be very big to turn into quite a lady. Did you know that? All you got to do is just teach them a little bit. You just teach them, that's all. Ah, listen. I believe, mothers and daddies, if I could say it, little children ought not to be brought up without clothes on. I believe a little girl ought to put on a little dress. I believe we ought to get them away from those little old pentafores. And I tell you, it's just sort of normal and natural from to graduate from pinafores to miniskirts. God's people ought to wear clothes.
Amen.
Mothers, cover your daughters up.
Yeah.
And you'll not get your heart broken so easily down the road. Yes. Old-fashioned standards. Education. Education has gone. Homes have let up on the old-fashioned standards that we used to have. The church has lost her evangelistic fires. Gone dead on a positive gospel, so-called. No crying out against sin. Neo-orthodoxy, which is no evangelism at all. Souls drifting on to hell. The average church doesn't know what it is to win great hordes to Christ. Old-fashioned mass evangelism is a thing of the past. Very few tent campaigns you ever see anymore. Concerted efforts are forgotten. Used to, whole communities would get together. Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist, and other churches would get together and have a united, concerted effort to win souls to Jesus Christ. Now then. Where are the Billy Sunday days, the George Whitfield days, Sam Jones days, and others not to be had anymore? Oh, why? Why? Have we lost a vision of the importance? You remember the old timers used to pray this prayer. Oh God, roll on us the worth and weight of immortal souls. We've lost the importance of the soul, and it's been lost in the masses. Church evangelism and private soul-winning evangelism is not practiced anymore. Now then, I'm going to give you three things. Number one, this has hurt the faith of the people, the RSV, the new version of the Bible, which has weakened the faith of the people. I knew when it came out and everybody hollered, "Come in," before they knew who it was. I knew it was wrong. I knew that whenever modernists in the whole country welcome the RSV, I knew that I ought not to have anything to do with it. But people have begun to plug at the Bible. We've taken the scissors of infidelity and question marks and clipped the milk veins of Bible truth, the miracles, the virgin birth, all of the fundamental things that we used to fight for as great Christians, and yet the people have come to the conclusion it doesn't really matter. I was in a great city not long ago, and a preacher came up, and he said he'd just been to the Ministerial Alliance meeting. And he said, we were divided today, 50-50, on the issue. I said, "What was the issue?" He said, "The virgin birth." 50% of the ministers, so-called, said it didn't really matter, the virgin birth. I've never seen anybody question the virgin birth that could preach a warm sermon on the new birth. I never have. And if you can't preach on the new birth, you'll never get anybody born again. And if I deny the work of the Holy Spirit in the birth of Jesus Christ without an earthly father, I doubt if I'll ever believe in the new birth which is brought about by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished, might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And so there's the RSV. It's a new version. I'm going to say something else. I believe that the tendency for everybody to just want to read every modern translation that comes along, I believe it's dangerous. I tell you, I guess I'm so old-fashioned I'll never get over it, and I'm not worried about it a great deal. I got saved listening to the King James Version. I got called reading the King James Version. I've been preaching out of the King James Version 35 years and look like it's got the job done with everybody believing, so why should I change? And so, far as I'm concerned, I still like the these and the thous and the thines and the holy things about the King James Version.
Amen.
Now, you can just swap and switch and trade and you do all you want. But I tell you, dear friends, this old King James Version, and if you blame this on my ignorance, it's a sort of a happy ignorance I'm having. I know one thing, it's met every need I've ever wanted, everything I've ever hungered for. This old Bible called the King James Version has slept with me many a night on the trail of evangelism. When the burdens were heavy, sometimes I've jumped out at the window at the back of the church and headed for the room, hugged that old book to my heart and said, "Lord, you said your word wouldn't return unto you void." And sure enough, God blessed it, dear friends. God blessed it. He'll bless the Word of God, but we're going to have to believe it and stake our lives on it. All right? The next thing I want to say, not only the RSV, but the GOV. Our government, I believe, and I'm just going to touch on it. I'm not entering politics. I'm just simply saying that things are different. We first went into socialism, and then it wasn't very long until we began to let the government do all of our thinking for us. They've made all the decisions. They told the farmer what to plant and when to plant and when not to plant, and they've told everybody else pretty well. And we've been willing for the little pittance that they give us to them to take over. And so our government today has got charge. Now, the thing about it, governments have always, and I say this because this is the truth in secular history and in Bible history, governments have always turned out to be against God and against Christ. I'm not saying that every man in politics is against God. I'm simply saying that government as a whole, the United Nations Conference has never had a prayer meeting. They've never read the Bible one time that we know anything about. Now, I still believe that Ben Franklin was right when he said and in the Philadelphia Constitutional Convention way back yonder many years ago, as he addressed Mr. George Washington as the chairman, and said, "Mr. Chairman, if a little sparrow cannot fall to the ground without God's notice, how can a great empire rise without his blessing? Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wakes up in vain." I move you, Mr. Washington, we call this assembly to prayer. Now I submit to you, my dear friend, they were not in half as bad condition then as we are right now. And yet nobody seems to have called the thing to prayer. We may have social security, but what we need is some spiritual security. We may have Medicare, but we sure in bad shape physically. And we may have big mental institutions, but there's not enough room for the people that are going crazy. And it was a sad day, my dear friend, when Christians began to turn their minds over to unsaved psychiatrists. And anybody that's got a thimbleful of sense can think through this thing with me tonight. My Bible tells me God hath not given you the spirit of fear, but the spirit of love and of power and of a sound mind. Now, I don't believe you buy mental health. I believe it's a gift of God. And if our people will come back to the Bible, "Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ," your mind will be in good shape. But I tell you, time you get through bowling and then watch the late show and the late, late show, and then have nightmares the rest of the night and go to sleep on Saturdays, wake up on stamina, no wonder you're going crazy. Crazy before you went to bed. I'm talking sense to you tonight. Why don't God's people come on back to the Bible?
Amen.
Insanity, because we're in sin. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Ah, listen, I thought this afternoon in the room, the house where I'm staying, that if we were to close every liquor store, every drug store, shut off all the cigarettes, and cut off all the television sets, we'd have civil war by this time tomorrow night. This would be the craziest nation you ever thought of or saw in your life. People would be at each other's throats and fighting and running and dying and screaming. That's right, men and women. False props. Where's God? Where's Jesus? He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest." There was a time when we woke up in the morning before daylight, had breakfast before daylight with the whole family, went out to the cotton patch and sweated all day, ate our vegetables out of the garden, drank fresh milk from the cow, raw. We didn't have a cow that had sense enough to homogenize her milk. Homemade butter and buttermilk and big old nice thick clabber milk. Pre-digested food. Ah, listen, dear friends. Went to bed at night about 8:30 or 9. Full of good farm tranquilizers. My daddy couldn't spell or pronounce tranquilizer, but he'd give me a bunch of them every day. He worked me so hard until I said, "If y'all don't mind, I'm going to bed." "That's everything, Dad, I'm going to bed." Amen.
Amen.
Why, the average American doesn't work enough to sleep at night.
Amen.
Ah, listen, I'm talking to you about what's happened to my generation. We've gone away. We've gone away from Him who has healing in His wings. Most people are talking about retirement. Where are they going to go? Where are they going to spend their little pittance that they've made instead of what they're going to do for God? The Bible said we're to labor, working with these hands, that we may have something to give to them that have need. That's living. That's living. Selfishness eats our society like a cancer tonight. People are miserable and neurotic. I believe any home that's selfish and built on selfishness is an unhappy home.
Amen.
Because it's sin. Women that want to spend more than the husband can make. No wonder you got your home so upset. Spending more money than you can make. And then you got all the household upset. Boys and girls that want a car before they're supposed to have one.
Right.
Two cars when you can't even afford to meet a payment on one. Brother, listen to me. God's people need to live Bible ways. Last of all, and this is the big blow, I'm going to come to hell's drugstore now. The serpent's babysitter and Satan's x-ray machine and the devil's de-brainer. The devil's got a way of taking people's brains out and they never know it. And a man without any brains is in bad shape. That's right. I'm talking about the cancer department. I'm talking about the radiation department. The one thing that's made America quit thinking, and then she quit praying, and she quit reading the Bible, and she quit having revivals, and she quit living right, and that's the TV department. That's the one big monster that's literally de-brained America. It's made smart men quit thinking. It's made preachers quit preaching. It's made Christians quit praying and winning souls. It's stopped revivals across America.
Yes.
It's the biggest enemy there is to righteousness. And yet, I know you argue. You say, but Brother Walt, tremendous invention. I agree.
Yes.
If you could see Jesus on it. I get letters every once in a while that say, Brother Walt, do you have a television set? Somebody said you did. I haven't had one, but I will get one during the millennium.
Amen.
I'll catch up on all my TV watching because I'm going to see Jesus every morning for breakfast.
Amen.
When he sets his offices up in Jerusalem, I'll take orders from him and visit with him, and I'll listen to his sweet and wonderful devotional every day.
Amen.
I really mean that. But television is in the hands of the devil. I'm sorry. One preacher said the other day, 98% of it is filthy. And he ought to know because he's got a big set. And he bought it for 2%. That's all. Young people have ruined their grades and studies.
Yeah.
Optometrists said the American eyes have been ruined. The doctor said little bodies have been ruined. And the great radiation experts said fatal radiation sits in every living room from the TV tube.
Yes.
And the more powerful the tube, and especially the colored TVs, nothing but cancer coming at dogs or people or whatever gets in front of it. I didn't say that. That's what he said. And he died from his own rays of radiation. Dr. Emil Grubb. And yet America, like a horse rushing into battle, you're not going to turn it. They're going right on down the road. Even though our churches are dead, souls are going to hell in droves. And yet people waste their time, and yet God said, seeing the days of evil, let's buy up the time. Let's redeem the time. This illustration, I close the message. It's the plainest, it's the most vivid. A woman drove a long ways a few months ago, came into the meeting. She said, already by letter and telephone, I'll be there early. I must talk with you. And so I met her at the church early. She's a beautiful lady, 30 some odd years of age, a Baptist preacher's wife. An older lady came, wonderful prayer warrior, great Christian. Listened to this precious woman with a broken heart and with a disturbed mind as she related the story. She had a hard time telling the truth about it. She said, it's my boy. He's 15, handsome. He's a fine fella, so far as physical physique is concerned. I said, well, you'll have to tell me if you want me to take him. I know he's in trouble. Yes, she said, he is. She said, when my bath was finished, I had on the smock, I was rolling up my hair, the bathroom door open, and two strong hands went around my throat. And I fell to the floor. And my own boy made his attack on me. I went to the hospital for shock. I said, two questions I want to ask you. Have you always dressed modestly? She said, yes, I have. I've been brought up to wear the proper decent clothes that a woman ought to wear. I said, do you have a television set? She said, yes, sir. That's exactly what he was watching when he got the notion that he'd attack his own mama. He said, Mother, my passions were so stirred as I watched the filth on our television set in the living room until I lost control and choked my mother into unconsciousness and made my attack. I said, I got one more question I want to ask. Do you still have your television set? She said, yes, sir. We still have it, but we had to get rid of our boy. And that's the demon that's possessed America in 1967. You can fuss at me, accuse me of being non-progressive. I'm just inspecting her dirty fruit, and I see what's happened. And you mothers and daddies are asking for it. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
You preachers and people of God, you're asking for it. You're not standing like preachers used to stand and like God's people used to stand. If you want revival, come out of sin. If you want to see souls saved, give up the devil and sin. I don't think America's going to be saved, but I think this. I think we could win some souls that'll soon bring back the King. If we'll get cleaned up on the inside and renounce sin and the habits of the world and say, I want to be like Jesus. I want Him to purify me on the inside and cleanse me. Bow your heads while we pray.